This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back. Final hour of overtime here on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 10 o'clock. 800-636-1067. If you'd like to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, you can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. While we were in the break, United States on the board. Nice play for Austin Matthews going around, tries to score, looked like he got out in front. Brady Tkachuk is able to put it in past the netminder, and it's a 1-1 hockey game in Boston, United States and Canada. I think it's about 2 minutes left. Yeah, 2.5 minutes left to go in the first period. We'll keep you up to date as the rest of that one rolls on. Taking a look at the Washington Nationals this offseason, what grade would you give them this offseason? Because I think you have to give them two grades. I think you have to give them a legit, honest grade in terms of what did they do this offseason, in terms of they're a Major League Baseball team in a major market in the United States, in the nation's capital, a team that won a World Series just 6 years ago, which is crazy to think about. What grade would you give them? And then you have to look at what grade you would give them when you take into consideration that Mike Rizzo doesn't have a whole lot to work with. When you take into consideration that they have very, very little to work with, what grade would you give them? So let's start with what grade would you give them overall for the offseason, just in general. And when you look at the moves that they made this offseason, very underwhelming. Just plain and simple, very underwhelming. And I think when you take into consideration this team and where they're at, I have pleaded all offseason that this is the time to go spend. This is the time to go improve this baseball team. Because when you look at the guys that are on this team right now versus what's coming down the line, they just don't have the guys in the system anymore. They're here. It's one thing the last couple of years when you're going into season saying, we're going to see James Wood at some point this year. Awesome. We're going to see Dylan Cruz at some point this year. Great. We're going to see C.J. Abrams come up finally, you know, with after the trade. We're going to see Mackenzie Gore and all these things. You're going to see all these guys that were top five at one point in MLB Pipeline's top 100 prospects. They were top five guys in baseball. And you're looking at it saying, okay, these guys are going to come up. They're going to be stars. They're going to help us. Well, who's the next guy that's going to do that? They don't have one. Dylan Cruz is technically still a prospect, but he's going to start opening day in right field. I think that's kind of the expectation. That's the understanding that he's going to do that. So if you still want to count him as a prospect, then fine. But I'm saying that he's going to be here this year. He's going to be your starting right fielder. He's going to play every day in right field. James Wood was a top five prospect. He's going to play every day in left field. C.J. Abrams was a top five prospect in all of baseball. He's going to start every day at shortstop. Mackenzie Gore, he had some different things change as time went on, but he was a top five prospect and the best pitching prospect in all of baseball at one point. He's going to be in your rotation. Who else is coming? Brady House is going to be a really good player, I think. Is he going to be a top five prospect when he gets called up, hopefully this season? No. He'll probably be somewhere in the 40 to 50 range. Travis Sikora, really good pitcher. We now know that he's not going to pitch until May because he had to have hip surgery. Okay, I think he could end up being maybe the best pitcher in minor league baseball at some point, but that's not going to happen this year. He's not going to get called up this year, but he might be the only one. Harlin Susana's really, really good. He shows a lot of potential. Is he going to end up being a top five prospect in all the baseball when he gets called up? Probably not. So your studs are here. The dudes like Sikora, the dudes like, okay, maybe not Sikora. The dudes like Susana, the dudes like Brady House, the dudes like Yoandy Morales, the dudes like Seaver King, those guys are supposed to come in and supplement the team. Those guys are supposed to come in and take you to the next step. They're not supposed to come in and be batting third, fourth, and fifth in the order like James Wood, Dylan Cruz, and those guys are that are already here. So why in the world aren't you spending this offseason? And the fact that Mark Lerner is saying in the Washington Post to Barry Sferluga, who did a heck of a job on the piece, that, you know, is this the time to spend on a superstar to win three or four more games? Yes, it is. He talked about the Jason Wirth signing and the time frame that that was done. It's a similar time frame right now. You shouldn't wait until you see what these guys are. You trust your development staff. You trust your guys that they've been able to develop these guys to be good big leaguers. I don't understand why this offseason they had the chance to go out and improve this baseball team, and I think they did, but they didn't do anything major. They didn't go after anybody big time. And I understand that they're never going to swim in the same ponds as the LA Dodgers or the New York Mets now. I understand that. I understand that they're limited compared to these other ball clubs. That's fine. But the part that frustrates me to no end, is I've covered a team in a small market. I worked in Milwaukee for a couple of years. And I'm covering a team in a major market in America now. In the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And I can't tell you that they operate all that differently. They don't. They're letting their good players go. And frankly, why would you buy a James Wood jersey when they're probably not going to pay him? Why would you buy a Dylan Cruz jersey when they might not pay him? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. They're not putting money into the team to improve it on the field, and that's what matters. Like Barry Sferluga said with G&D yesterday, I thought it was really good. I think their mindset is a little bit backwards right now. They're thinking, hey, we've got to get more fans in the stands, and then we'll pay players. Well, why don't you pay players, and fans will come out and sit in the stands? Why don't you go out and try to build a little more competitive baseball team, and we'll come out and watch? It's just frankly frustrating that this team went from where they did in 2019. And look, I understand that so many things screwed the team over. You win in 2019 and you don't get the bump of a 2020 attendance for winning the World Series. You don't get to unveil the banner with a full crowd there. You don't get all the extra stuff that you get in the year after you win a World Series. I understand that. That sucks. I understand, too, that the learners, where they make their money, really got hit hard in COVID. I understand that, and I empathize with that. A lot of people lost money during COVID. I get it. It sucks. If you're not going to be able to shell out what you need to, then you can move on. If you aren't going to act like a team that is in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., then move on. I just don't understand this, where this was the offseason to spend. I haven't been critical in other off seasons because I said it didn't make sense. Did it make sense to go get Pete Alonso 2 years ago? No. Did it make sense to get Pete Alonso last year? Probably not. I'm not even a Pete Alonso fan. But did it make sense to go get a Pete Alonso this year? 100%. Did it make sense to be in on Alex Bregman? Sure. And I 100% agree with Danny's point yesterday, which is a great one. It'd be one thing if they were in on Alex Bregman and they got outbid because he got $30 million. I don't think he's worth $30 million. But if they were going up to 25 and Boston said, we'll go to 30, all right, well, at least you were in on it. If you were looking at Pete Alonso and you, I forget the exact contract he got, but if you were $5 million shy on him and you were in on it, but you weren't able to go to the number, okay. I didn't hear them in on Pete Alonso. I didn't hear them in on, obviously, Juan Soto. I didn't hear them in on Roky Sasaki. I didn't hear them in on Alex Bregman. The report from Tom Lavero is they were in on Christian Walker, but ownership nicks that right in the bud. Frankly, I like the move they did at first base more anyways. honestly. I would have preferred more power there, but I can live with what they did for the price that it cost. I kind of assume that, to me, Christian Walker was the number one target, but $20 million versus giving up Robert Garcia to go get Nathaniel Lowe for a similar time period, I'll go with Nathaniel Lowe, even though he doesn't have the power. I think he's better. He's just as good a glove. Doesn't have as much power, but I think he kind of fits with what the Nats are trying to do. I think they improved this offseason. There's no question. But if I have to give them a grade for what they did, it's a D plus. They didn't do anything. Their payroll last season was $103.9 million. Tell me if this makes sense. Their projected payroll going into this year is 93.8. Right now, it's 84.4. Their payroll didn't go up. It went down by $20 million. The same amount Patrick Corbin was getting paid. What are you doing? What are you doing? I do not understand how you didn't spend some money to improve this baseball team this offseason. You want to know who the three of the four highest paid players on this team are not here right now? Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, and Patrick Corbin are three of the four highest paid players. Your highest paid active player on this team right now is Nathaniel Lowe at $10.3 million. And that's because he lost an arbitration case, which I know some people are making a big deal out of that. That is what it is. It's a horrible system that Major League Baseball has in place, but maybe you should have just went ahead and paid him the 11.1 he was asking for or whatever and helped the relationship regardless. Whatever. I'm a little less incensed by that. I'm frustrated by the fact that the guys that you're going to try to sell me on when I go over to the ballpark this year, and look, I'm different. I go to a lot of the games. I'm not paying to get in. I go as a credentialed media. I'm there all the time. If I had to pay to go to as many games as I went to last year, no chance. I'd go to five or six games. There's no chance I could go over there as many times as I did if I was going to have to pay for a ticket every time, pay for a hot dog, all these crazy. It's not cheap. It is not cheap to go over to the ballpark all the time. And I get that. I'm privileged. I know a lot of people are not to get to go over there all the time. And so if you're going to be paying your hard-earned bucks and you're getting sold on, hey, man, come out to the ball yard and see Nathaniel Lowe. Really? Hey, man, you sized? Mike Soroka's on the hill. I don't know. How about the fact that we brought back Trevor Williams? That'll do it. Josh Bell's going to take you over the top. We spent on Shinsuke Ogasawara. Jorge Lopez do it for you? How about Ahmed Rosario? Do you get a little fired up for Paul DeJong? Can I interest you in Lucas Sims? Because that's what your offseason was. That's what your offseason was. Last year, you had a pretty low payroll. This year, it's even lower by like $20 million. What are we doing? What are we doing? So if you want me to give them a legit offseason grade, it can't be any higher than a D+. It can't. They took Patrick Corbin off the books and said, sweet, we saved $20 million. Sweet, we saved money. They didn't go spend it. So all these people on the Nats Twitter that were saying, oh, see, they went and spent money. They did not spend money. They didn't. It drives me insane. What is the goal of this baseball team? Are you trying to win or are you trying to just get by? Because I need you to make your decision on what type of ball club you're going to be. What type of ball club are you going to be? If you want to be the Tampa Bay Rays and you want to operate like the Tampa Bay Rays, then I need you to start having the success developing and drafting and finding gems like the Tampa Bay Rays. You want to turn into Tampa Bay Rays, that's fine. They've had a lot of success. I would work with that. But if you want to operate like you're in the nation's capital, in the most powerful city in the world, in Washington, D.C., in the DMV area where there are plenty of people, then start spending some money. Because we're spending our money. We're going to ball games. It's not like people don't still show up to the ballpark. I know the numbers aren't great, but it's not like people aren't going to games. Even if it's other teams' fans are going to games, it doesn't matter. There are still people showing up to the ballpark, and they're showing up to the ballpark to see a very, very mediocre baseball team. When these same people were over there less than 5 or 6 years ago watching a World Series caliber ball club. What the heck happened? I can't put up with it anymore. It's so frustrating. Before, I could justify saying there's no reason to spend. I get it because the dudes aren't here yet. Just wait till the dudes get here and then pour into it. The dudes are here. James Wood is going to be in your opening day lineup. The guy protecting him in the lineup is Nathaniel Lowe. I like Nathaniel Lowe. He's hit for 20-plus homers at the first base position once in his career. I like the move. I do. That's the guy that you're giving protection to your potential superstar? Dylan Cruz is here. C.J. Abrams is here. Mackenzie Gore is here. You're not going to get guys like that anymore. At least not in the near future. So what are we waiting for? Because if you say, well, just wait and see what they got. Okay, well, wait 2 years. Guess what? You're just 2 years away from trading James Wood for a bevy of draft guys and of prospects. Is this the cycle we're going to get in? Where we just have to become the farm team, as one of the callers said the other day, the farm team for the good teams? Is that what we're going to become? Where we're going to watch Juan Soto 2.0 and 3.0 and 4.0 and 5.0? Or are we going to actually compete? Are you going to spend some money to keep these guys? Are you going to try to improve the baseball team? I don't get it. So to me, if you're going to give them an honest grade for this offseason, I think they improved, but they did not improve nearly enough. I'm going to give them a D+ because your payroll went down. It went down. That fact alone can't get you higher than a C. That fact alone puts you way down the list. I give them D+. What grade do you give them for this offseason? I'll give you my grade for what they were able to do with the limited resources they were working with, because it's much better than a D+. I'll give you that. I actually think Rizzo did a fine job this offseason with what he was given. But what grade do you give the Nationals this offseason? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. More Nats talk next here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Toby Altizer with you till 10 o'clock. No, it didn't sound like it, but I am fired up for the Nats season to be here. I am excited that on Saturday you can hear Charlie and Dave over on the Team 980. First action of the spring taking on the Stros. Their brothers at the Cacti Park of the Palm Beaches taking on one another. I'm excited for the spring training. I'm excited to see what some of these guys can do. I think that this team can be better than it was last season. That being said, what grade would you give them this offseason when you take all into consideration? I don't know how it can be much higher than a D+. I just don't. You got a payroll that went down. The team improved marginally. You know, you look at what Vegas thinks of them. Last year going into the season, their win total was 66.5. This year it's 70.5, so they are better. But is it, how many more years are we going to have to go through this? How many more years are you going to have a team that doesn't have expectations higher than, well, maybe they can be competitive for a few months? Remember when this team used to be competitive into October? Remember when this team used to be competitive every single time they stepped out on the field? Remember when you used to think that you had the best players? That was a nice time. It's too long ago. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Ben was telling me you're a little hyped up, so let's get out to Jaime in Manassas. Jaime, what's going on?
Hey, Tori, what's going on, man? How you doing? Hey, yeah, I'm very frustrated. I think it's a D. I don't know when we're going to start to have a very competitive team. We have, you know, I think it looks like they're happy with hovering around 500 and being a little competitive. I don't know how long we're going to have Mike Rizzo coming every week to call the radio station to talk about prospects. I know it's very exciting and the kids look great. But when we're going to have a competitive team that we can start talking about pennant races,
yeah.
We can talk about buying, trading in the trade season and the pennant race and not selling, buying instead of selling. We're supposed to be a top 10 market in MLB. So what happened? What happened? Okay, I understand. Maybe they had the team for sale and they wanted to clean the books and have. So, but how long is it going to take? Are we selling or not the team? What's going on? I don't know why we're waiting so long to improve the teams. You don't have to spend like the Mets, like the Dodgers, like the Yankees, or like the Red Sox. But you can spend a little bit. You can stay competitive. I think you get there's ways to improve the team, and you don't have to pay $20-30 million a year for a player. But you can still improve it better than what they're doing.
100%.
I don't know what they're waiting for, man. Are you getting excited to watch this team? You know, you're a fan. You're going to watch the games anyway. But man, you know, it's like the Orioles now are the best team in the area and are the ones spending. Who knew about that? And they have the competitive team that they, now they're going and fighting for pennant races. And now we have the small market team that are waiting on the prospects. And you know what's worse? That the prospects are maybe they're going to become stars in major leagues. And then all of a sudden, 2 years later, we don't sign them. They hit free agency. They leave.
Yeah.
Come on, man. We have to get better, man. This is not good enough.
Agreed. 100%. Jaime, I appreciate the phone call. And I think he brings up a good point there, talking about the young guys. This is what frustrates me. I don't want to even get into the point, like he brought up, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier, of if you're not going to be able to re-sign these guys. I hate that the guys over at the stadium, the guys that we want to go see, are getting caught up in this. They're not necessarily hearing the headlines and all this. They're not worried about all that. But James Wood and Dylan Cruz and C.J. Abrams and Mackenzie Gore and Jake Irvin and all these guys that you can go through and name your favorite Nationals shouldn't be stuck playing with crappy teammates. They should be playing winning baseball. I don't want to have to continually have James Wood have to carry the entire offense. I think he can. I think he can be awesome. I think his potential is through the roof. I don't want it to be that he's stuck playing with just trash teams all the time. I don't want it to be something that if he has the option to leave, he wants to leave. He's from the area. I run into his dad at the park all the time. I talk to his dad all the time. Great guy, great family. I don't want him to feel like he has to go anywhere. I want him to feel comfortable here. You want to know how you feel comfortable someplace? Win. Win, 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 win. Just do that. Go out and get some people. I hate the fact that, you know, we're getting frustrated about this and that and this and that and talking bad about the team and saying these things. And I'm serious. I couldn't be more excited to watch every James Wood at bat this year. I couldn't be more fired up to see Dylan Cruz take 600 ABs in the bigs this year. I couldn't be more fired up to watch 150-plus games of C.J. Abrams. I'm excited to watch 30-plus starts of Mackenzie Gore. I can't wait to see the step that Jake Irvin takes. I think D.J. Hurst is going to have an awesome year this year. I cannot wait to see what he's able to do if he adds another pitch against lefties. I think these guys can be nasty. I think that some of these young guys can be legitimate studs that can help this team win 80-plus games. But it doesn't help when CJ, Dylan Cruz, and James Wood make up a third of your lineup. That's only a third. Last I checked, 9 dudes have to hit. And they improved the team. They did. So I want to give credit to Mike Rizzo. If you want to give some credit to Mark Lerner, you can. I'm not. The most unacceptable thing to me is this. And look, I understand it's hard, and I get all that. You still own a Major League Baseball franchise. You're not hurting. The most unacceptable thing to me is that their payroll went down. I don't get it. I have no idea who's closing out a ball game right now. No idea. And people are telling me that me wanting them to pay $8 million for Kyle Finnegan is asinine. Is it? Is it? Their payroll went down $20 million. Projected to go down about $15, $10 million. What are we doing? What are we doing? The fact that your payroll went down is unacceptable. I'm not saying it even had to go largely up. I'm not saying you had to go and take your $104 million payroll from last season and turn it into $160. Nope. But I don't want it to go from 104 to 94. I want it to go from 104 to 106, 108. At the worst, like 102. They didn't even replace the money that came off the books. They didn't. You can look at it. They did not. Disappointing. I think the team's better. So I'll give you my positive. We'll improve. It's been a half hour of a little negative. We'll improve. We'll put a smile on your face next. Because I do think when you look at what they were given in terms of the resources and how they did, I think they did okay. Not happy with the resources they were given. That's why I give them a D-plus on that. But taking into consideration what Mike Rizzo was given to work with, what grade do I give the Nats offseason then? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. I'm on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 10 o'clock. Feel free to hop in, 800-636-1067. On the MGM National Harbor listener lines, you can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. Talking some Nationals. So overall, the grade I would give the Nats for their offseason is a D+. When you take out all context, you take out all the considerations, just overall, if you're looking at it from a 10,000-foot view, it's a D+. Their payroll went down. When you take in the consideration of what they were given, what Mike Rizzo was given to work with, and what they did this offseason, what grade would I give them? I'd give them a B. Maybe even a B+. Because I think they improved this baseball team. I think like I laid out earlier, the win total for Vegas last year was 66.5. Right now it's 70.5. So the baseball team is better. But it's not that much better. But I also don't think they could have made it much better when they were given the budget that they were given this offseason. They just weren't given enough. I think the Nathaniel Lowe move is a good move. I think that's a very, very smart move. I think signing Soroka, I'm not necessarily thrilled about Soroka necessarily, but I think it's a heady move. On our latest Bustin' Loose Baseball, Grant Paulson and I recorded one earlier this week, so go check that out wherever you get your podcast. I thought Grant laid it out perfectly. You're never going to complain about stocking stuffers as gifts, right? You're never going to complain about sides at a dinner, right? But you are going to be a little bit frustrated if the stocking stuffers are all you get. Or if when you go out to eat, you only get the sides and you never get the steak. Right? Like, there's nothing wrong with the sides, but you need the main course. You need the main thing. And that's what was missing this offseason. They did a good job with the sides. They did a good job working with what they were given. But it's not enough. It's just not enough. I think that the baseball team is better overall. I think that they could win more games. But my hope this year was that they would go from a team that has won 71 games the last two seasons to a team that was potentially going to win at least 81 games and be at 500 and improve. I don't know that I see them more than, I don't know, 3 or 4 wins better. I just don't. And there were spots where you could upgrade. There were spots where you could spend money, And they did not. I think they improved the baseball team, but because of how limited they were allowed to, how limited the resources were, they just weren't able to build a team that, unless they exceed expectations, it's just not going to go over 80-plus wins. I just don't see it. And that's really disappointing. Because this was supposed to be the offseason where you could take the step. Now, to me, this was offseason number one where they had to do it, and they didn't. I think next season is offseason number two where they have to do it. I think that's when you have to find a way to make sure you spend some money. That's right. Let it play. You can let it play. You can let it play. Goal number two for the United States. A goal number two for the United States. I'm trying to see who it is. Is it Austin Matthews? It's kind of plastered around in front. Who was that? I can't see who scored it. But the United States is now up 2-1 over the Canadians in this Four Nations face-off final. I can't see who it is. Good goal for the U.S., though. They're up 2-1. We're talking Nationals, though. I just don't think they were given many resources. And in turn, I think what they were given, they were able to make something out of it. But it just wasn't enough. 800-636-1067. Let's get out to Chris in Damascus. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, big guy, I gotcha. Hey, I'm out on all things Bregman, and I think you should know why. And the money wasn't good enough either. I'm out on all things Bregman.
Well,
wasn't he the one carrying the bat down to first base, and Soto had to come back and show him who's carrying the bat where?
I'm surprised he doesn't have a personal endorsement with, like, Waste Management.
Who?
Alex Bregman.
Or whatever, exactly. I'm out on all things Bregman. So that's, but everything else they're saying is accurate. I'm very concerned about the ownership and their lack of finances and the financial issues they're in. That is an issue. It would have, and but I really didn't see a lot out there. Like I like Nathan Lowe. Did you say Christy Walker was a Gold Glover like Nathan Lowe?
He was, yes.
Okay, well, either one of those. Yeah, I like that. That's going to help C.J. Abrams so much. Because that's his issue. I'm really big. The big thing, I think they're fine. I'm not worried about the bullpen. If you recall, we brought in Tim Hudson to take us the rest of the way our World Series here. We'll find that, and I'm very high on Jose Ferrer,
yeah.
And I think the bullpen's always a work in progress through a year. We got plenty of starting pitchers, so we could have used a big boomer bat for DH. So, and I don't know who that could have been, but there, you know, that's another second half pickup. Just because they didn't do anything yet doesn't mean if we can hang. I'm open. I'm looking for 500, and if they can be 500 coming down to the trade deadline, then they can decide to make a push, and I think they would be in position to add instead of like.
Yeah.
No, you know what I'm getting at, and
yeah.
the starting pitchers need to, but this is a prove it. They got till the trade deadline to prove it if they want to be in it.
Appreciate it, Chris. Yeah, I think
thank you for talking Nats and go USA and go Maryland.
I love it. Yeah, I think for me the thing is, and he brings up a good point about the pitching staff because I was about to hit on that when we moved on is. I think the pitching staff is going to be really the deciding factor of whether they're going to be able to do what he's saying and get to about 500 or if they're going to be kind of the same team they've been the last couple of years. So the last 2 years have been kind of mirror images of one another where in 2023, really bad first half, like painful first half, and then the second half was really awesome. You're like, wow, okay, this team looks really, really good. 2024, first half. Wow, this team is surprising. We're, you know, even getting into months into the season saying, look at them. They're around the wild card. And then it faded kind of after the All-Star break, and it wasn't very good, and guys took steps back. You know, I think this pitching staff is going to be huge. Mackenzie Gore has improved every year he's been a starter in this league. He got down to a 390 ERA. Now, inconsistency was a huge part of that for Mackenzie Gore, the reason why he was at a 390. Can he get that down? If he gets, like, 3-3... Now we're looking at like the real potential of what Mackenzie Gore could be. How about Jake Irvin? Can he take that next step where he's been a very reliable arm that frankly, we weren't expecting to be someone that was a long-term part of the rotation. He looks like at times he can pitch middle to top of the rotation. If he can find that way to be consistent there, you take that. DJ Hurs, what type of step does he take in his first real full year in the bigs? Mitchell Parker was a revelation last year. What does he look like? Like, starting pitching is going to be huge. The other part of it is I don't know who in the bullpen is going to step up. Really, you got Derek Law. I like Ferrer. I think Ferrer is interesting. But if you ask Davey Martinez, like G&D did last week when he was on with them, who's closing the game for you, they don't have an answer. Jorge Lopez? I don't know about that. He's okay. Is it Jose A. Ferrer? I think it really depends on what you're going to get. If they're facing lefties, it'll be Ferrer. If they're facing righties, it'll be Lopez. I don't love that. I don't love that that's kind of your plan right now. But I think they improved the team overall. Last season, there was one guy that hit 20 home runs. It was C.J. Abrams. This year, I think they have four guys that probably will hit 20 home runs or will be right around it. They could probably even have some more. That being C.J., James Wood, Nathaniel Lowe, Josh Bell. The team is better. So I know it sounds like, the sky is falling. It's not. Because if everybody's able to make this work and play well, then suddenly, yeah, this team could be around 500, maybe a little bit better. If these pitchers take the next step, then yeah, you could be around 500, maybe even a little bit better. The issue I have is you didn't do yourself any favors. You didn't do yourself any favors. Like, to me, what they did was a lot of what kind of Washington had done this past season on the football field, where they made necessary moves because they had to make moves. They didn't do anything to try and actually go win. They were just making a football team that would fit their culture and would get by and would improve things, but wouldn't necessarily be as good as they were. And then they overachieved, right, in a lot of ways, and then they had to get aggressive at the deadline. I think what the Nationals did is very similar. They improved the team. They raised the bar a little bit, but not enough to take you to the next step where no matter who you face, you're going to be, if you were to get into the postseason, you're going to be the underdog. I don't know. There's just a lot of work that still needs to be done. So I know it sounds incredibly negative, but I am thrilled about baseball season being back. I'm excited. Get down to West Palm Beach, get over, talk to the guys at the ballpark and get some of their thoughts, because regardless of how this goes, it's one thing to be frustrated at ownership, and I understand why, but I think the guys on this team are really easy to cheer for. And I think Dylan Cruz is a really, really cool guy. He's one of those dudes that I think is going to create something cool about the Nationals, where, you know, the new word is aura. Dylan Cruz has aura around him. You talk about James Wood. He's so easy to root for. Quiet kid who just goes about his business and looks like he could, you know, he has the potential to be one of the best players in all of baseball. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what he can become. But yeah, it's going to be weird seeing him without his dreads. It's going to be weird seeing him without the dreads, but he's rocking a little bit of a fro down his spring training. A lot of guys to cheer for this year. So I'm still excited about the Nats season. Just a disappointing, underwhelming offseason overall. We're going to wrap things up next. I want to talk about Juan Soto, and not the same conversation we've had about Juan Soto many, many times, because speaking of painful, Juan Soto is going to be wearing pinstripes in New York, but not for the Yankees, for the New York Mets. He did something really cool that we saw a video of today. We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Final couple minutes here, overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 10 o'clock. Couple minutes to go in the second period of USA and Canada. Just under 8 minutes to go. USA with the lead, 2-1. Man, a great chance Canada just missed. So hopefully US continues rolling. I can't imagine the celebration in Boston tonight if USA wins. It's funny because it's a tournament that, like, ultimately, I don't even know what you get. Like, you get like a gold medal. What do you get for winning the four? I don't know what you get. Probably some money. Regardless, I hope USA just pours it on at the end of the second here and into the third. Wrapping up, though, I want to talk about Juan Soto. And yes, it sucks to see Juan Soto in these nasty blue and orange unis of the New York Mets. The Mets, to me, are similar to how I felt about the Giants for years, where when they're bad and they're kind of irrelevant, they don't matter to me. But when they're good or they're always in the news, I can't stand them. And that's where they're going to be forever now, because Steve Cohen is willing to pay all the money in the world to get whatever he wants, including $700+ million for Juan Soto. Well, Juan Soto did something really cool that I saw on Twitter today. So Brett Beatty, the third baseman prospect, he's kind of been up and down with the organization, but he was supposed to be their third baseman prospect of the future. He's been wearing number 22 whenever he comes up to the bigs to play for the New York Mets. Well, today, a video shows Brett Beatty walking out of their spring training facility in, I think it's in Port St. Lucie, wherever it is, somewhere in Florida. And out parked in front is a brand new Chevy Tahoe. And it's from Juan Soto for the number 22 jersey. Really cool gesture by Juan Soto, right? Really cool for him to understand that, you know, Beatty didn't give a stink or anything from the reports and different things. And why would you, by the way? If Juan Soto's joining your baseball team, I would say you can have whatever you'd like of mine, Juan Soto. You can have my number. You can have my locker. You can have whatever you'd like. But Beatty didn't give a stink. He's not going to. He's not, you know, nearly established enough to do any of that. But Juan Soto was kind enough to go out and figure out what his dream car was. And he found out through some, I guess, through the grapevine, that Brett Beatty's favorite car is a Chevy Tahoe. And he bought him a brand new one. I'm sure got all the bells and whistles. According to Tim Healy, the cost was $92,000 to get a brand new Chevy Tahoe for Brett Beatty. How cool is that, though? How cool is that? Shows one thing that I don't think Juan Soto gets enough credit for is that guy is beloved and loves everyone. He's such a cool guy. I know on the field, sometimes with the Soto shuffle and all those things, he can frustrate people. But, man, in the clubhouse, he's such a well-liked guy. And every time he comes back to Nats Park, just the amount of people that are going out of their way to make sure they can come out and talk to him and see him and just hang out for a little bit, whether it was with the Padres, whether it was with the Yankees last year, he's just such a loved figure in the game of baseball by anybody that's been around him. It's cool to see that he's still such a good dude. Now he's got a big payday, and he pays it off with a Chevy Tahoe for Brett Beatty. The question, Ben, is this. If someone were coming into your organization and doing something, and by the way, Canadians just tied the score 2-2. That's 6 minutes to go in the second period. 2-2 hockey game. Don't love it. But back to the discussion, Juan Soto buys the Chevy Tahoe. If someone were doing something similar where, you know, they're going to take your number or something of that nature like that in sports, what would you be asking for? Because also remember, too, this happened in D.C. sports when Tress Way gave up number 5 to Jaden Daniels, and Tress Way got a bunch of different things as well. So what would you be asking for?
Well, this is pretty vanilla, but I actually don't have a car at the moment because I was having electrical issues with the battery. My parents went and took it and sold it, so I don't have a car. So sign me up for a car.
So you'd be signing up for the $92,000 Chevy Tahoe with all the
Bells. Oh, yeah. I'd be happy with a $3,000 car. Give me anything, please, Juan Soto.
Car of your dreams, if you're getting it, because that's apparently what Juan Soto made sure to get him.
I'm so attached to my Honda Accord that just give me one of the new Honda Accords. best vehicle in the market.
I like it. I like it. I like going with the smart, efficient option. We were talking about this earlier in the room.
It's like, it's just reliable.
Should it be a Lamborghini? Like, Lamborghini's not always practical.
That's not my thing.
Really? You're not
I'm not into luxury cars, luxury clothes. I'm into my sports teams winning.
Okay, I am too, but if you can give me that in a Lamborghini, I'd sign me up. Give me a burgundy and gold Lamborghini.
That'd look cool, driving around during a parade one day. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels hoisting Lombardi, sticking out the window, holding it up out of the burgundy and gold Lamborghini.
We're going convertible or something of that nature, whatever it is. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what mine would be. I really like the idea that Tress Way had with Jaden Daniels, where he's going to get him and his boys tickets to go watch LSU-Oklahoma at LSU in Death Valley. How cool is that? I don't hate that idea. I don't know. I might choose, like, give me a nice golf trip out to, like, Hawaii, or, like, Pebble Beach or something. A big golf mark, if you haven't noticed. A big golf mark. That might be what I'd be going for. I think that'd be fun. A really cool gesture by Juan Soto to get this very, very nice Chevy Tahoe for Brett Beatty. It's going to be painful to see him playing for the Mets. I don't know what the obsession is with these former Nationals to be stuck in the NL East, but can they please stop? I'm just so done with it. Just so done with it. That's going to do it for us today. Appreciate you all for hanging out. Appreciate Ben doing all the hard work behind the scenes. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow following Grant and Danny at 6:30 for Overtime. Have a great rest of your evening, and go USA!